Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. It's a deal that's been decades in the works and might not make it across the finishing line. The free trade agreement between the European Union and the South American Mercosur trading bloc is driving a wedge between those who are eager to diversify and strengthen their international trade, like Germany, and those who are concerned about protecting their agricultural sector, like France. Well, earlier this week, France's prime minister officially asked the Commission to delay taking a final decision on the deal until 2026, this after the Commission made concessions to French concerns and before the EU Parliament voted them into law. Well, France 24's Luc Schrego has the details.
A vote in the European Parliament on Tuesday to better protect its farmers as a massive deal with South American trade bloc Mercosur waits in the wings.
It improves market surveillance, establishes clear and objective criteria for detecting disruptions, speeds up procedures for sensitive products, and allows for rapid action when there are signs of damage. These improvements directly address the concerns raised by farmers across Europe.
The deal, negotiated over 25 years, would be the European Union's largest ever, creating a free trade area with the five Mercosur countries, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Bolivia, and covering a market of over 750 million people. Germany, Spain, and the Nordic countries have all been behind it, particularly against a backdrop of global trade uncertainty fueled by US tariffs. But EU agricultural giants like France, no stranger to anger from its farmers, have been joined by others like Poland and Ireland. They've dug in their heels, concerned over protecting themselves from vastly cheaper South American imports, with opponents judging existing protections not strong enough.
We know products will be coming in from abroad with production costs 20 times lower than ours. They will flood the market. These deals spell the end of French farming.
The Tuesday vote sent back heftier measures, such as investigating surges from Mercosur countries if imports rise by more than 5% and if their prices drop 5% below EU equivalents. Mercosur countries would also have to adhere to EU production standards to access its market.
Well, for more on this, let's speak with Maxime Combes. He's an economist in charge of trade at ITEC here in Paris. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
So you fundamentally oppose this Mercosur trade deal, but not for the same reasons the French government does. Can you flesh out your position on this for us? And are there no guarantees, no added safety checks and regulation mechanisms that could convince you that this deal is a good idea?
This deal is not a good idea because this deal is coming from the last century. The negotiations began just before 2000, and the 25 years from negotiating an agreement, which is not a good agreement for climate reasons. This is an agreement which is a totally asymmetric trade agreement, which promotes the most harmful economic sectors on both sides of the Atlantic. On this side, it will be the car industry that will benefit from this agreement, and the pharmaceutical industry too, and the most harmful industry we have in Europe. And for example, we will export the fossil cars we don't want on our territory now from 2035 to South America. And at the opposite, South American countries will export the most harmful farming sector they have to Europe. So no, it's a bad deal. It's a deal that will be bad for the planet, bad for the climate, bad for the forest, and not really good for the people working both sides of the Atlantic.
So you mentioned harmful products coming from South America to Europe if this deal goes through. Tell us more about the health and safety concerns you have about this sort of South American model of agriculture.
For example, Brazil is using more than 3,000 pesticides products for this agriculture sectors. And most of these products cannot be used on the European territory. So that means farmers in Europe cannot use them for safety reasons, for environmental reasons. And with this agreement, we will export these pesticides because Europe is one of the most producers of these pesticides, even they are not allowed on the territory. And they will be used in Brazil, in Argentina, and the other Mercosur countries. And we will have agricultural projects coming back in Europe with some residual pesticides on the projects. And you cannot manage this. You cannot check it at the border. It's not working. We have examples each year that is passing. We have new examples of projects coming from Brazil with pesticides on the products that are forbidden to be used and sold in Europe. So we have to stop with this, and we have to change the way we are organizing at the same time geopolitics and the global economy. What we should do is to produce what we can produce in Europe, and to for sure to keep continuing in trading the products we cannot produce in Europe or they cannot produce in South America, but to organize this trade with rules that are protecting the planet, protecting the forest, protecting the people, and not just delivering profits for the big companies.
And so in these negotiations that we're reading about this week between among EU members over this trade deal, the French government keeps talking about having more, what's the guarantees, having these mirror effects and these mirror regulations that any, regulations that exist in the EU should exist in South America as well. Is there is that not enough to alleviate these concerns about pesticides, about all those things, if those guarantees are brought?
No, but because these guarantees are not real guarantee. We can have a look in the details, but you have to take into mind that the agricultural projects, the farmers in Brazil, in South America, are 50-60% most competitive than the same productions in Europe. And so if you don't take this issue, it will just be a nightmare for the farmers here in Europe, because you will have beef production in Brazil, in Argentina, that will come on the European markets, and the European farmers won't be able to sell their own production. So that means they will disappear. They will be killed.
And if there are
by
quotas,
new markets.
If there are quotas that are imposed on the amount of beef, Brazilian beef or Argentinian beef, that can be promoted to Europe, is there a certain level that would be acceptable?
But these quotas are very huge, and the quotas are not part of the discussion now. The quotas are fixed. The deal is done. The question now at the European level is EU and the EU countries accept the deal that have been negotiated and closed last year by the European Commission, or do they say that this kind of organizing or disorganizing the trade relations at the global level should stop? And of course, reopening a new era possibility of new agreements with Brazil, which is one of the big democracy we have in the world. But we have a lot of to do with them, but let's have climate negotiations, let's have deforestation negotiations, let's have negotiations on how to guarantee good jobs on both sides of the Atlantic. This could be good relations and a good way to organize geopolitical affairs for this new century, and not to be stuck in last century way of doing things regarding globalization and trade issues.
Mm-hmm. So this is the ideal trade pact that you sort of described, that you would envision between the EU and Mercosur, one that would put the climate at the forefront and social issues as well. You often work with South American activists and academics who also oppose this trade deal. What do they have to say?
More or less the same than us. This is you have to understand, you have the farmers in the streets now in France and in different countries in Europe, and this 18th of December in Brussels. But we have civil society organizations working closely together for a decade on this issue, because the negotiations are there for 25 or more, more or less 25 years. And we have a close alliance between academics, civil society organizations on both sides of the Atlantic. 400 organizations signed a same text saying that they would like new kind of relations between the EU and the Mercosur country, and more than the Mercosur countries, the America Latina, the Latin American countries. And we can see the consequences of this globalization now all over the world. That means you have jobs who are disappearing. You have less possibility to count on the possibility to have local activities and local good jobs. And at the end of the day, it's just making extreme right rising all over the world. So let's stop with this kind of disorganizing global trade, and let's try to find a way to organize economics and to the global economy and the global relationships between the country on other other values than just to make the trade growing all over the world. It won't save the planet, it won't save people, it won't save the forest, it won't save anything, just to make a trade increasing all over the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Globalization and trade there having real, and trade policy having real political implications. Maxime Combes, you're an economist in charge of trade at ATEC. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us on France 24.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for watching. And if you like this, you can watch all of our previous episodes on the France 24 app or website. Do stay tuned, though. We have more news coming right up on France 24.
This monument lists the names of the children who died at Chigid. They died very young.
Romanian dictator Ceausescu's birth rate policy led to thousands of abandoned children. Many were diagnosed with disabilities and labeled unredeemable, then sent to state-run institutions.
For the communist regime, these children were seen as an unnecessary burden that had to be removed.
This was my bed, right here. They never changed our sheets, nor our clothes. These are awful memories.
Growing up in inhumane conditions left its mark on survivors.
You can't forget the wounds, the suffering, the trauma from childhood.
Revisiting Romania's missing children on France 24.